Thank you, Lord. Please stand with me. Amen. Summer is a great time to be a witness because we keep our clothes on when others don't. When Jesus cast out the 2,000 devils out of the Gadarene, the Bible says he found himself in his right mind with clothes on. And, you know, summer, I'm afraid as a pastor, I love summer. I'm afraid that people have a tendency to find themselves in the wrong place, doing the wrong things because of all the liberty that vacations give and summer gives us. And so I've become very protective of this congregation. Amen. And what we're seeing in this world is terrorists. Is probably not a week that goes by that there isn't a terrorist that gets into some place that they shouldn't be and hurts people. And like in the world, the enemy of our soul wants to be a terrorist and come in to the church and damage people. Not as much physically as spiritually. Let off some kind of bomb, you know, that's going to knock you off track and eventually get you to the place where you die spiritually. Amen. So if we could leave the screen down again tonight, I'd appreciate it. I'd like you to turn to 2 Peter, the second chapter, please. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." He's talking to the church. "And many shall follow their pernicious or self-destructing ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." So we understand that there are going to be people who are going to come against us and say, you know what, these things aren't important anymore, and they're self-destructing. If you'll turn to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death." Jesus has the keys, amen. Just two more scriptures, Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter. And starting in verse number 1, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." So one of the greatest defenses against false information or false prophets is, I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and strength. And you're going to find that there's going to be a defense against that. Verse number 4, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him." So here's Moses. He is giving a farewell address saying, you know what, be careful. There's going to be somebody who's going to say, hey, you know what, I had a dream. I heard from God, and they didn't. Glory to God. And then Acts, the 14th chapter. And verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the doors of faith unto the Gentiles. Sometimes we just have to rehearse some of the things that God has done for us in order to build our faith, you know? And I'm glad God's still doing it. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch upon the word of God tonight. God, it is all for our benefit. God, it's something that comes from another world. We're grateful for it. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 1 Corinthians 16 and 9, Paul said this. He said, for a great door and effectual or an active door is open unto me. So he's saying there's this great door that's open unto me, and there are many adversaries. So even though he recognized there's this great door that is open, he also recognized there's a lot of adversaries around us. We're not living in a cocoon. We're faced with a lot of challenges because we are a Christian. Now, I've never considered a life of crime. I like my ministry at the prison when I can do it on a volunteer basis and walk out of there when I'm done. I from time to time pass houses that have their newspapers stacked up, and I'm thinking, boy, it's just a big sign saying, come on and break into my house. Nobody is there. An opportunity for a burglar. Breaking into a secure building can be a real problem, especially with the surveillance that we have today. I've got a camera at my front door, and when somebody comes to my front door, my phone is alerted, and I have a picture of who's there, and I can literally talk to them if I'm in another country or another state. That's kind of a unique thing, and then it records it, and this little gadget is called the Ring, I think it is. And, I mean, it's very inexpensive, but today you can monitor your house. But it's still not impossible for somebody who's very persistent. You have to, number one, divert the watchdog, and with my watchdogs, that'd be a very difficult time. You have to get over the fence that I welded, and then you have to pick the locks that Brother Shoddy put in, and then disarm the alarm system in the house. Now, it can be done, but there's some difficulty in doing that. Take a look at Job, the first chapter, please. Job chapter 1 and verse number 6, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it, checking locks, you know. Is your house secure? First, we must get past that watchdog, and that can be done by diverting the attention of the watchdog, open the gate and turn loose a cat, or simply put the watchdog asleep by using a tranquilizer or feeding it some food that's more important than guarding the house. And if the adversary can attack the pastor and the ministries of the church to divert their attention with little cat scrimmages and clashes with people, or if he can lull the watchdog to sleep with routine and negative things that go on in the church, then there's easy access to the rest of the congregation, and the adversary can have entrance to the church. And that's why God's saying, hey, there has to be a watchman on the wall. 1 Peter 5:2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight or the watchman over the flock. And if the watchman is taken out of the way, then the thief or the adversary can have entrance into the church. That's why there has to be a guardian. There has to be someone who preaches the word of God on a regular basis, even though many times we know what the word of God is, but we have to be, well, reacquainted with the word of God and even some of the things that go on. Jesus said in Matthew 12:29, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? Now realize he's talking about Satan, but the same principle applies to every house, every husband, every father. If you are not strong, your family becomes a target of the adversary or Satan. And so whether you understand it or not, parents, especially fathers, you are the watchman. You are the guard at the door, if you will. You either allow something or prevent something in your house, and one day we'll all be accountable. I will be accountable for everything that happens in this congregation. Are we aware of where our children go and who they're with? It's summer. Why is it so important to pray for our family and pray for the pastor? Because it is a protection over our house. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate the prayers and support from people. It's so easy to get so distracted by situations within the church because I'm aware of too much. And that's exactly what Satan would want. Distract the leadership and the preaching that God wants to go forth, and then the flock becomes easy prey for the adversary to break into the church. And I know there are churches that are attacked from time to time because there isn't strong leadership. And if the burglar can get to the watchdog, he then has to face the fence and then the locks and then the alarms. And so there are certain stages that happen within a church. The fence around the house is the wall of holiness. It separates us from the world that can cause us to be seduced by the enemy. I've said this so many times, but I believe it. If this is salvation, sanctification, holiness is what protects our salvation. You take the sanctification away, these things aren't important anymore, then all of a sudden we lose salvation. So there are so many who are in error thinking we can have, well, we're staying with Acts 2:38, but the rest of it, you're foolish because you will never be able to keep truth in unrighteousness. A city in the Bible couldn't even be considered a city unless there was a wall around it. Can a church really be a church if there is no holiness and protection that helps it? The world won't accept us in our holiness. Can you clap your hands? That is one of the greatest attributes of holiness, is people don't accept us with our holiness, with our modesty, with, you know, the faithfulness that we had. It actually repulses them and therefore keeps them away from our fellowship. So the only way that the burglar can come in is to take down the walls or make breaches in the walls, and God's people have always had a wall around them. And I know that there are dreamers and there are those who have heard from God that these things aren't important, but you know, like it says in Deuteronomy, you know, don't listen to them. If you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, hey, there's no problem with what the Word of God says, you see. Hair is not important anymore. Dress doesn't matter to God. It's taking down the walls of protection. Then all of a sudden we have these desires that we shouldn't have, and all of a sudden the world likes us again. Jerusalem still has a wall around it. I've been there. The new Jerusalem in heaven, the Bible says there's going to be a wall around it. Revelation 21 and 12 says, and had a wall great and high and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels or guardians of the wall. And the enemy, the adversary, the burglar, will first start with the watchman, and then he'll start with the wall. And of course, if there isn't a good watchman, well, it's easy to take the wall down. But then he'll try to pick the lock. Or in other words, discredit the word of God. Did God really say? I know what I'm talking about here. If we can water down the message that comes from the pulpit, and all of a sudden we don't need these restraints, we're free, free, free. Oh, Brother Schumacher, we have such freedom here. Then the next thing is to pick the lock or discredit the word of God. Does it really mean what it says? Just accept the Lord as your Savior. You don't have to go through this born of the water and born of the Spirit in order to see the kingdom of God or enter into the kingdom of God. You see what's happening? Listen, his key won't fit God's house. Not those keys. They aren't going to work. God only gave out one key, and that was to Peter and to the successors of Peter who followed the doctrine. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so on the day of Pentecost, Peter gets the key out, and he opens the door, and he allows people to enter into the kingdom of God. For the first time, the door is open for someone to be filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, and real freedom comes in. And I want you to know that God didn't give a bunch of different keys to his house. There's only one key to his house. My God is particular about who gets into his house. You need to know, first of all, who he is before you can get into his house. Amen. There aren't different keys for every different denomination, and yet there are so many who think that there's a different way, a different key for a different denomination. Here's a key, accept the Lord. Here's a key, you need to be sprinkled in the titles. Here's a key, just do good works, be a good person. Here's a key. You just go to church, and it doesn't matter what you do or what you look like. No, God never changed the lock, so there is no need to change the keys. Peter opened the door to God's house on the day of Pentecost. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Every key has notches cut into the key. If you see Brother Shoddy, you just ask him. That's the way you get in. There's little notches that are cut. And if all of the notches aren't there, you can't open the door. So if you have just one notch instead of three notches, you're not going to open the door. You may handle the keys, you may carry the keys, you might have a Bible under your arm, but if you don't have all the right notches in the key, it's not going to work. Now, devil, you can't pick the lock, and we are holding on to the keys. We're not going to give up those keys. Church, don't let the keys go, and the adversary won't be able to enter into your house. We're not going to lose them. The last thing that the burglar will try to do to gain entrance into your house is to disarm the burglar alarm. And if he can disarm the sophisticated built-in alarm, then the intruder can hack away at the wall, at the lock, at the pastor, at the ministry, at the doctrine, justifying that the police or the judgment will never show up to take them away. You know, it's not important anymore. Once the alarm is disconnected, the intruder, the adversary, can pick the lock, dismantle the walls, and punch the pastor. Once you get to the place where the alarm system, that inner alarm system, isn't working anymore, hallelujah, you know the code? Are you sensitive to it? Did you set it before you left the house? Do you do it every morning? Do you set the code? Is the alarm working? Is there a sensitivity level that you can set up? God installed a very complex and sensitive alarm system when he gave us the Holy Ghost. And you know what? From the very beginning, when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you what, it was activated in you. When somebody used the Lord's name in vain, oh my, the alarm system went off. When there was something that you were going to do and God checked you on it, the alarm system went on. Hallelujah. But some have learned how to deactivate it, and that can bring great trouble for each and every one of us. He gave it to us for our protection as well as the benefits for others. But if we ignore the alarm that goes off when the adversary approaches, then get ready to lose everything that you have. It's your last defense. If you're not listening to the message, if you don't think holiness is important, if you don't respect the Word of God, there's something that God has installed in each and every one of us that says, oh, no, no. You know what? There are people who have left the church for whatever reason, but they would never badmouth the church or denounce the church because their alarm system is still working and they're able to be restored, you see. But once you deactivate that alarm system, that Spirit of God, you really don't have a chance. Church, we have to protect what God has given us so we can continue to have great revivals, great worship services. We've got to keep these things in place in order to keep the house of God to be what the house of God is meant to be. And God has given us the tools to protect all of what he has given us if we would simply recognize it. The watchman, the wall of holiness, the Word of God to keep us secure, and an alarm system that warns us of approaching danger in our life, and it happens all of the time. It's the Holy Ghost. Keep sensitive to the Spirit of God. And we revive that spirit in worship services like this. We revive that spirit by hearing the Word of God on a regular basis, but someone has to tell us. So here's the deal. The devil can't get in if we don't abandon God's protection. James 4 and 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that word flee means to run in terror. So all we have to do is stand up for the things that are right. According to this, the devil has no power. He flees from it. We have the name above every name. We use the name of Jesus. Don't think that the devil's following you around all of the time and that you're under siege. It's not true. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Now, there is no such protection against the devil's kingdom. We have all of the protection that is set up for God's kingdom. In fact, Jesus is very careful to tell us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And in Isaiah 54 and 17, it says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. So there is an anything that the devil has that he can use against us, because we're greater, we have more power, we have a greater defense system if we'll keep the defense system up. So as I see it, the devil's place is defenseless. Broken down old gates, no locks on the doors, no walls around his house. You see, diabolically different than us, where God is protecting us all of the time. His weapons don't work. There's nothing that he can use against us. All we have to do is resist him. All we have to do is stand for what the Word of God says. And I feel like going over to his place and doing a little looting. Walk right into the front gate and say, I'm here to take my relatives. I'm here because I want what you have. I'm here to take everything that you have, and you cannot do a thing about it because you don't have any weapons, you don't have any defense, you don't have any gates that work at all. And I can take everything you have, and you can't come after me. Na, 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 na. Literally, that's what we can do. Like we're fighting a battle every day against him. You know, the battle that we fight is against ourselves. You know, I have to carry this flesh around, but every once in a while, I need to beat it up with a fast. You know? Because I got to get control over this, or it'll control me. Amen. There are broken down gates, and God has given us the key to death, hell, and the grave. And I've come to take loot, plunder, and ravage, and I'm taking them all to God's kingdom. What do you think about that, devil? Amen. That's what we're going to do Sunday. That's what's going to happen in this place. We're saying we're storming the gates of hell. We're going to take what has been his, what he has controlled, because we have all of the power in order to do that. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But the foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So what we are is we're a SWAT team. We're going after what is ours. But we have to be determined in order to do that. This basket is a start. Our prayers are a start. Fasting is a start. But mostly, somebody has got to ask them. Don't be afraid of rejection. They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting God. And God wants them to come more than we could possibly want them to come. God wants our family saved more than we could possibly want our family, our friends, our neighbors. Then our last scripture is in Revelation, the third chapter. Starting at verse number 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. So we find that God has set an open door before us. No man can shut it. We don't have much strength, but we've got a God that is backing us up every time we do his work. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When this thing is all over, I want to be able to say that I've been profitable for God. Not that I just endured to the end, not that I held on, but the Bible says there's going to be jewels for our crowns for those who we have led to Christ. Amen. So, whatever we can do in order to advance the kingdom of God, God smiles at it. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?